The children's Christmas pageant this year was superb. Kids sang in French and German, and they memorized a bunch of scripture, and the music, it was just really great, really great. And if you missed it, well, mark your calendar for next year. It's always the first Sunday in December. But one of the things I love about kids' Christmas pageants are that we always get this fresh perspective on the Christmas story, and often it's comical, at least at moments. You know, there's always a kid who sings louder than all the others, and many times out of tune, or a kid who freezes at the microphone because she can't or he can't remember the lines. All the kids are in constant wardrobe adjustment mode. Halos slipping off of angels, lambs picking up their ears that fell off. And then there's always somebody who's just completely oblivious to everything because he or she's waving at mama, you know. One year, Gabriel appeared for his grand announcement to Mary, but Mary wasn't home. In fact, she was nowhere on stage. And then in a booming voice, Chris Bartman, "We need Mary down here." She was at the back of the church getting her microphone adjusted. Well, the reason I love kids' programs, kids' pageants, are because when I'm watching them, I'm watching myself. And aren't we all? I mean, as a human race, we're not really very polished. None of us has it together. We fail to show up. We mess up our lines. We're distracted. Our halos are constantly slipping. And this is the message of Advent and our need of Christmas, of Jesus. Let's read about this from Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, very familiar story to us, but Lord, give us fresh ears to hear this. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Gabriel was sent from God. What an arresting statement. Sent from God. For what? I mean, what on earth is God doing? Well, God is about to invade the earth in the kingdom of his son. I mean, talk about an adventure. We sentimentalize Christmas way too much. And I'm not saying by that, you know, ditch the tree and the presents, strip the house of lights. But Christmas is not about God coming into our world as a baby just to identify with us. God is invading our world. I mean, what Gabriel says about Mary's child is alarming. Son of the Most High, Son of God, given the throne of his father David, of his kingdom, no end. Those are revolutionary, dangerous kinds of words, because at that time, there was already a son of God in the world, Caesar Augustus. That was one of his titles, and he defended it with sword. There's already somebody claiming David's throne, Herod, and he too is pretty protective of his seat. And the Roman Empire, it wasn't observing, you know, term limits as some empire. They were in it to rule forever. What on earth is God doing? God is invading the world, and justifiably so, with an indictment that we and all our leaders have failed. We have failed to establish righteousness on earth. We failed to save ourselves, and so God must come and do it. I mean, the message of Christmas, it's full of joy and hope, absolutely, but in it is also this rather offensive message to all nations, kingdoms, governments, organizations, presidents, and human beings. God is saying to us, you don't know how to do life. You have messed up the life I created you for. Humanity has brought nothing but sin and death to this world. But good news, heaven, the kingdom of God, is invading to put things right and set us free. While waiting in a Nazi prison cell in 1943, a few weeks before Advent, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote to a friend, quote, "A prison cell in which one waits, hopes, and does various unessential things, and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside, is not a bad picture of Advent." Well, it's not a bad picture of our human condition. Christmas is the invasion from the outside of one coming to open the door and set us free because we couldn't do it ourselves. And we need Jesus specifically to come and do this because of who he is. He is the God-man. Jesus has to be a man like us. Why? Because humanity, we sinned. And so man must atone for his sin. And that's the problem. We can't. We're flawed. There's nothing we can offer, including ourselves, that's not tainted. I don't want to ruin your day, but every one of us is a bad offering. Sorry. But Jesus is not. He's human, but he's also God and therefore sinless. And we understand his deity from the language here with the virgin birth. Mary makes it very clear she's a virgin. She has not known a man. So how is she going to conceive this child? Well, it's not going to be through getting married to Joseph and the natural course of things. Gabriel tells her that the Holy Spirit and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. This is delicate language, but it is speaking of a miracle conception. And so the human child is going to be called something that no other human child could be called: Holy Son of God. Fully God, fully human, fully a mystery, and fully what we need. The only one who can rescue us from sin and death. Well, Christmas is a time to do more than celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's also a time to ponder our weakness, our frailty, our sin. And that can be offensive to our pride because, I mean, who here wants to look bad? No one. But the truth is, we all do. We've all forgotten our lines. We've all failed to live godly lives. Our halos have all fallen. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we cannot save ourselves. Perhaps the greatest gift you can give yourself this year is the gift of honesty, that you're not what God wants you to be. You're not even what you want yourself to be. Own your sin and your failure. And then the good news of Mary's son really will be good news. For a Savior has invaded the prison to open the door and to set us free. But in God's invasion plan, there's a huge paradox. See, Mary can't get pregnant by herself and so bring the Son of God into the world, and God's plan doesn't work without her. The paradox is that we can do nothing without God. But without us, God has chosen to do very little himself. And so God calls Mary to join in the adventure. But why Mary? Why this Mary? You know, we Protestants have made too little of Mary, mainly in response to Catholics who we think have made too much of her. I love the story of the Protestant minister and the Catholic priest. The Protestant said, "You know, you Catholics, you make way too much of Mary. There's no difference between Mary and my own mother." To which the Catholic priest responded, "Well, perhaps that's true, but you must admit there is quite a difference between their sons." And why did God choose Mary to bring his son into the world and to raise him? I mean, weren't there thousands of candidates? Why Mary? Or to put that another way, who on earth is God using in his adventure? Well, the key thing about Mary and why she was chosen was her humility. She thought more of God than she thought of herself. Medieval artists often portrayed Mary in stained glass windows, and her pane would be the only one with no color in it. Clear glass. All the other window panes filtered the light of the sun through their own distinctive designs. But Mary was clear, unfiltered. Little of herself to affect the light that came through. Now, Mary was not perfect. She was not sinless. She speaks of God, her Savior. But she was humble. And her humility is evidenced by her willingness to be interrupted, and interrupted inconveniently, and also by her availability, and availability for the long haul. First, Mary was willing to be interrupted. You see, she wasn't sitting around the house, nothing to do, twiddling her thumbs, waiting, just hoping Gabriel would show up. No, she was very busy preparing for marriage. She was dreaming of being a wife, hoping to be a mother someday. She was probably preparing things for her life together with Joseph. Now, her ambitions, maybe they were small town, but they were as real and meaningful to her as yours are to you. And by the way, small town ambitions, aren't they all when compared with what God is up to in the world? But you see, Mary didn't cling to her ambitions. She let God interrupt her with a very different plan, and she was willing to go with it, and it was not going to be easy. It was, in fact, going to be inconvenient. I mean, how do you explain a virgin birth to your parents and your fiancé? Well, you can't. You have to trust God with it. Well, imagine the talk in the town when Mary began to show. You know, the nice girls, they weren't going to hang out with her. Mary would become the butt of their jokes. Well, how open are you? How open am I to interruption and the inconvenience that it may bring? Portia and I were watching an episode of Monk the other night, and Monk's assistant, Natalie, was in distress, and Monk responded, "Is there anything I can do that wouldn't inconvenience me?" Gosh, that is so us, isn't it? And there's not a genuine Christian that I know that really doesn't want to hear God speak. That genuine Christians, they want to know the nearness of God more. They want to be used of God in his works. But unless we're humble enough to be inconveniently interrupted, it will never really happen. Because God will not be scheduled. God will not be restricted to a Sunday morning. If he cannot meet us on his terms and in his own time, then he may not meet us at all. Jesus said, "We meet God when we meet our neighbor's needs." I mean, he said feeding the hungry and clothing the naked is the same as feeding and clothing him. But if we have no time for our neighbor to interrupt us in their need, then we don't have time to receive God. If the next generation of youth or the generation above us of that older lonely person next door, if nobody can inconvenience us, then chances are God can't either. Are we interruptible? Well, in humility, Mary organized her life around God, not herself. The Lord had perfect freedom to interrupt her. Well, this week, keep a prayerful listening ear as you go about your day, as you go about the Christmas season, and pay attention to the interruptions coming into your life. That's not to say every interruption is of the Lord. The devil's out there too, trying to distract us. But in those interruptions in your day and your life, you have this prayerful heart before God, a listening ear. Lord, is this you? What is it that you want me to do in holding and even giving birth to Jesus' plans in this place or with this encounter with this person? I think God is interrupting us far more than we realize. Perhaps it's to pray. Perhaps it's to speak a word of encouragement. But sometimes it is in an absolute life-altering way. And this was certainly the case with Mary. And this is the second quality or aspect about her humility, that she was in humility fully available to God and available for the long haul. See, her identity was that of a servant. I am the Lord's servant, she said. Let it be to me as you have said. Availability for Mary did not mean, I'm free every other weekend, Lord. Or, okay, I'll give you 9 months, but after that I want my old life back. No, Mary was available for the long haul such that God could rewrite her entire life story, changing it forever. Everett Koop, a former Surgeon General of the United States, tells of a family that had a severely handicapped child, and actually Koop helped deliver the child and then keep that child alive. And he writes about how one time he asked the child's mother, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? And she said, having our son Paul born with defects that required 37 operations to correct. Koop then asked, well, what's the best thing that ever happened to you? And she said, having our son Paul born with defects that required 37 operations to correct. And Koop wrote, I know what she means. It's been terribly hard on them. But through the experience, they've grown enormously as a family. They've had a remarkable spiritual reawakening. One of their sons is now in law school planning to defend the rights of the handicapped. Paul has now had 56 operations. Despite the hardships, it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience for the family. Where is God calling you and interrupting your life? Perhaps it's with an unexpected illness or a job setback. Maybe it's working for a horrible boss or just having to deal with a difficult, difficult person. Perhaps God has interrupted your plans for marriage by giving you singleness instead or enduring the death of a spouse. Or maybe there's a circumstance that just has you beaten down as you struggle against it and you don't understand why God won't take it away. Well, humility is not merely sucking it up, grinning and bearing it, you know, some hard assignment from God. Humility is learning to see our circumstances from God's perspective and that we're part of His continuing adventure. God is constantly coming, appearing with His kingdom, the kingdom of His Son, and are we available to be used in whatever way God chooses to reveal Jesus and His kingdom, even in our hard circumstances, as we show through our faith and love to Jesus that He is worthy. But you know, in all of this, the interruptions and the availability, there's a sweetness in this. There's a sweetness that's available to us as we make ourselves available to God. It's a sweetness that Mary knew. It's a sweetness that sustained her in all that she went through, and it will sustain us. And it's the sweetness of Jesus Christ himself. Mary was carrying in her body God's Son. I mean, talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory. And she celebrated this. She sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." That is the declaration of a happy soul that knows the sweetness of the love and grace of God in her life. Well, when God interrupts and alters our plans, he also draws near to us, and there's always opportunity to know his grace and love. When the angel called Mary favored one, verse 28, "Greetings, O favored one." That same word is used of you and me, Christian. Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of God's glorious grace, with which he has blessed us, favored us in the beloved." Christian, you are highly favored by God in Jesus Christ. You too have Christ in you, not physically as Mary had, but what did Jesus say? "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." John 14:23. And then certainly Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Just as much as Jesus inhabited the body of Mary until his appearing, so Christ now inhabits you and me by the Holy Spirit until his appearing again in glory at the second coming. But he is with us, he dwells in us, and he is working his purposes out through us in the world and often through our kid-like pageantry lives. If you want to know God and be used of him, expect God to interrupt your life. Well, in humility, in Christ Community Church, oh, may we be interruptible. Oh, may we be available. Will there be risk with that? Probably. Will it change our life and alter our plans? Absolutely. Is he worth it? Well, that's the question. What do you say?